Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 through 30. The scripture says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us now join our guest minister, Megan Klaus, as she explains God's word through her message titled, "An Easy Yoke."
I love to hear that harmony. Please be seated. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus came to earth to eat with us and to die for us. So confident in God's understanding and grace, let us now turn our deepest regrets and shame and fears over to the one who loves us beyond all comprehension. Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in the order of worship. Holy One, we confess to you and to each other that we are tired and weighed down, mistakes we have made, even in our closest relationships with our friends, our spouses, and our partners. Trusting in you, we surrender this burden to you, mindful of Jesus' promise that he will give us rest. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of our faith. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, showing compassion to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Our third reading comes from Matthew chapter 11. Hear what the Lord would say to you today. This reading occurs, John the Baptist is in prison, and Jesus is preaching to crowds in the cities. And right before this, he's saying, you know who John the Baptist is? You want a prophet? He's not only a prophet. If you will take it, he is Elijah. But that's not how John is being treated. It's not how Jesus is being treated. And so we come to this passage. Jesus says to the crowd, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son but the Father. And no one knows the Father but the Son, and to anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have a confession to make. I have an obsession. I am obsessed with Korean dramas. Have you ever watched them? The sort of popular term for it is K-pop, if you're into Korean culture, K-pop drama. And they're full of, beautiful people, beautiful 30-year-olds playing 18-year-olds. And it started because my husband is into action adventure series, and you know how when you watch something, Hulu or Netflix or Amazon says, if you like this, you might like this. And so it recommended City Hunter, which was a series from, 2012, starring a guy named Lee Min-ho, who is young enough to be my son, but boy, is he nice to look at. And so, it has the fighting from my husband, and it has, this side story that keeps me interested. So we watched City Hunter, and then, of course, I have to stalk online to see what else there is out there. And before Lee Min-ho did City Hunter, he sort of came on into his stardom through, first through a series called Boys Over Flowers, which is what it sounds like. It's based on a Japanese manga series, but it's like 90210 on steroids. And then there is another series that I'm sort of shamefully, secretly watching now called The Heirs, which is advanced 90210 on steroids. and it is nothing that I would watch in America. I never watched 90210. I couldn't stand, those over-the-top, crazy dramas. I don't even watch Glee because it's so unrealistic. But there is something about it that just, I can't put it down. And they end on really good cliffhangers, so I just have to watch a little bit into the next episode, and then, I'm done. I have to go on to the next episode. And I have other things to do. I actually do. I am in the ordination process. I have graduated from Wesley, so I have my MDiv, but I have not completed my Greek requirement. So I'm taking Biblical Greek this summer, and then I will take an exegesis class this fall, and then all of my academic requirements will be done, and I'll be ready to take ordination exams. So Greek is really important, not just because it's the Word of God, but also because I need it to be ordained, right? So you would think it would be a priority. And yet, this past week, I have spent more time on Korean drama than I have on Greek. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Pretty appropriate scripture for me this morning. And in our second reading, Jesus is addressing the crowd in the city about their fickleness. He says, if you are willing to accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah. But you criticize him for neither eating nor drinking. You say he has a demon. He's a crazy man in the wilderness wearing a hair shirt and eating locusts and wild honey. And yet I, the Son of Man, come into the city. I do eat. I do drink. And you criticize me for being a drunken glutton and keeping loose company. We cannot win. He's addressing a crowd who wants to be in control. These are people who think they know what they're doing in their lives. They know who they are. They are merchants. They are bakers. They are wives. They are children. They are scribes, they are Pharisees, they are whatever they are. They think they can recognize a prophet. And John is not it. In fact, he is a holy man, but they call him a demon. They think they can recognize an anointed one, a Messiah, and Jesus is not it. Jesus does not strictly follow the rules interpreted by the scribes. So Jesus can't be it. And meanwhile, they are in the marketplace playing their games. Hey, we played the flute and you wouldn't dance. We wailed and you wouldn't mourn with us. They have their own distractions because they think they are in control. And Jesus says, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. His words are saying, thank God that God does not send the knowledge and the message to the people who think they know what they're doing. They're too busy knowing what they're doing. It's the infants who will receive the message. And in the end, John and I will be vindicated by our deeds. The proof of who we are will be revealed in the results of our ministry on earth. The infants that are referred to here are those who are open and vulnerable to possibility. And people like that tend to be the marginalized, the people with the least to protect. They can be open because they don't have stuff they need to keep. There might be stuff they want, but they don't have to protect what they have. They are not committed to the status quo because the status quo isn't really working for them. They are bearing heavy burdens and their life is not easy. But Jesus says, come to me, all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus offers the people who can hear words of invitation, words of comfort. So, who here is weary? Anybody weary? Yeah, it's only the beginning of July and I'm already weary. Is anyone carrying a burden? Is anyone carrying a heavy burden? And our Lord Jesus Christ says, come. Come to me. I will give you rest. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke. So what's a yoke? We know what a yoke is? It's what?
The thing on the ox.
The thing on the ox. For the plow. That's what comes to my mind first. It's either a single yoke or it's a double yoke. And it goes around an animal's neck so that a farmer can control it to do work. And there's no way the animal can get the yoke off. And a burden. He's offering us a burden. Again, it's a light burden, just a little burden, but it's a burden. So how is this comforting? Who wants a yoke? Who wants a burden? Jesus seems to be giving with his right hand and taking with his left. So the yoke in Scripture is an important image, and it occurs from Hebrew Bible all through to the New Testament. I first think of the oxen. In the Hebrew Bible in particular, it's a symbol of empire, and that when the people raise up a king or God anoints a king, the price is going to be that the people are yoked. They are burdened. They are not in control. They answer to a power, a higher power. And the king answers to other powers.
In our tradition, we use the notion of a yoke in the form of a stole. When ministers are ordained, they are stoled. And it's a symbol of our being yoked to Christ, our official final marriage vow, that we are no longer our own people, but we are servants of Christ. And that's why people who are not ordained, no matter how far you are in the ordination process, you don't wear a stole. I don't wear a stole. I may wear a robe. I don't wear a stole. The yoke is a very real, hard, concrete, physical expression of being under someone else's power or something else's power. So even if it's an easy yoke, who wants one? Well, the reality is, it's not a choice between being yoked or not being yoked. We are all yoked to something. We are not in control of the universe. We are not even in control of our lives, despite what popular media might try to sell us. We may eat organic and run marathons, and we can still get sick. We may fully fund our 401ks, and the economy can still crash. We may have good intentions, but distractions trip us up. I may want to be a diligent Greek student, but the reality is, this past week, I have been a really good Lee Min Ho student. I just cannot resist a cliffhanger. And while I delight in God's call, it's not a cliffhanger. So Jesus says, assume a yoke. And because we are all yoked to something, what will it be? Will it be a next creature comfort? Is it fashion? Is it gadgets? Is it entertainment? Is it belonging to a certain social crowd? Or being right? Recent Pew research shows that the greatest divide between Americans now is along political lines. Democrats and Republicans have never been so unable to talk to and cooperate with each other. Are you yoked to righteousness? Jesus' emphasis is on my yoke. Assume my yoke. Jesus' yoke is easy. There are different translations for easy. The connotation is it's fitted. It's a yoke, but it's an appropriate yoke, fitted to your body and your life. Jesus' burden is light. The burden of kingdom work is not always light, but it nurtures us and grows us in God. And Jesus carries it with us. And that nurture, that companionship, as we do kingdom work, that makes it light. Jesus' work is eternal. It never goes out of fashion. It doesn't depend on the economy or on political power. And the series never ends. Kingdom work, living into the images of God we were created to be, is the only burden worth having. It's the only yoke worth wearing. So assume a yoke. You gotta wear something. Jesus says, wear mine. And now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. To God be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Megan Klaus, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. And as you leave this place, consider that wherever you go, God is sending you there. Wherever you find yourself, God has placed you there as a witness to the amazing love and grace of our God in our lives. Try not to get distracted. Amen.